Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you tonight. Be with you till midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us this last Sunday of 2014. And we're glad to have you listening and appreciate your prayers and support here in this past year. We're looking forward to another good year here on the radio. So appreciate your prayers that God would keep us on and keep making it possible for us to do what we do here every Sunday night. And, of course, we're going to open our program in a word of prayer and also let you know the phone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free. If you're listening to me here in the United States, you can call that number. Even in Canada, we've had people call from Canada, I believe, on that number. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. Let's open in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for this past year. We thank you for the opportunities that we've had to be here on AM 1220 of the Word out of Cleveland, Ohio, and also then this past summer to be able to add AM 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. Lord, what a blessing it's been to be able to be on these stations, and we just thank you for it. I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless our program tonight, help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to people this evening, and as we close out this year, help us to point people to Christ and encourage people to serve God in the year to come. And as we talk about some things tonight, that you can use this to program to help point people to Christ. If there's somebody listening that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, maybe some of the things we talk about tonight through your Spirit, you can use that to direct that person to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you for your prayers and support this past year. Pray that you continue to pray for us, and we're looking forward to 2015 here. And I was thinking about some things to talk about, and actually I thought about a topic to lead off with here this evening, or actually for next Sunday night, but then I got to thinking, that's the first Sunday of the year, and that's several days past the first of the year, and I thought, well, maybe it'd be better to talk about this tonight. And that topic has to do with reading the Bible. And I believe that it's important to read the Bible. I remember hearing a thing one time, you hear these little things when you're in Sunday school growing up as a kid. And I remember somebody said one time that 7 days without reading your Bible makes 1 week. And it was spelled W-E-A-K as opposed to W-E-E-K. And that had to do with the idea of we weaken ourselves spiritually if we do not spend time reading God's Word. God's Word is the food that we need to eat as believers, as Christians. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to feast on it. We need to be like the prophet that said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them." And that's important because all Scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we need to study God's Word, that we can be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's sort of a practical reason for this. I can remember I was stationed in England. I was in the United States Air Force. I was stationed at RAF Chicksands in England, and we were just north. We were about 60 miles north of London, just outside of Bedford, England. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, in John Bunyan there, who wrote that book, he was in prison for preaching the gospel without a license. He was imprisoned in the Bedford Jail, which was on the bridge right over the River Ouse. Now, I've been right by that spot. There's a road there, same place that the bridge has since been replaced several times. So the jail is not there on the bridge over the River Ouse anymore. And that's its name, Ouse, O-U-Z-E or S-E. But anyway, John Bunyan was arrested there. And we used to actually pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord on the very spot that John Bunyan was arrested. And you can know where the spot is because there's a little plaque on the pavement that says, "On this spot stood the Lord High Sheriff as he arrested John Bunyan." And so because of the positioning of where it is, you can see where Bunyan had to be standing. And so you can stand on the very spot. And it's kind of interesting to be able to think that after all these years now, from the 1600s to today, now you can freely speak of the gospel there without being licensed by the British government and the British Church, or Church of England, I should say. But learning the Bible, understanding the Bible, I remember I rededicated my life to the Lord while in a missions church that was just outside of our base, a little independent Baptist church. A missionary from Georgia came over, and he started to work there. And it started to grow. Chick Sands Baptist Church, right outside of RAF Chick Sands, and started going there. And people were praying for me. I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I can remember going into the Pilgrim Bookstore in Bedford, England. And it was a Christian bookstore. And I can remember looking at all these books and thinking, "What's good? How do I know what's a good book? What would be good for me to read?" And I realized even then, even though I wasn't very mature as a Christian, I'd been saved for a number of years and had been backslidden and things like that. But my reading of the Bible and such that I had done, and my exposure to the Bible as a young man in a Sunday school class and church growing up, I knew that there was some stuff that was, shall we say, fluff and nonsense, a lot of empty things, like cotton candy. It looked good on the outside, but when you bite into it, you know, there's really nothing there. It's just sweet and sticky, and that's about it. So I knew that there was a lot of fluff and nonsense there, and I wanted to know what was good, and I really didn't know how to discern what was good, so I started praying. And really, I think what God helped me with was getting me to read the Bible. And many of you have probably heard the illustration, how do you know whether, or how does a bank teller learn to know whether or not they're handling counterfeit money? And you know, a lot of times you would think, well, they study counterfeit money, and they learn how to handle it, and then they'll know what it feels like when they come across it. Well, the problem with that is counterfeiters are always trying different things. No, the way they learn to identify counterfeit money is they learn what real money looks and feels like. They become very acquainted with what real money is. And so when they see something that differs from real money, even if they haven't seen it before, they know it's a counterfeit. It's kind of like when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, and we got there, and there was a very, very large population of Mormons, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints there. And they were one of the largest religious groups there, certainly in, I think, about the top five for sure. And I was running into these Mormons all the time, and I had not dealt much with Mormons prior to that. And so I started trying to get some resources to learn about Mormonism, and I was reading that. And I remember getting this newsletter that this guy had a Mormon ministry, outreach ministry, and it was really kind of discouraging because he said, if you're going to witness to Mormons, if you're going to attempt to reach Mormons with the gospel, he said, you need to study all of the Mormon books, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and Covenants, and study Mormon doctrine so you know it better than the Mormons you're dealing with do, and only then should you attempt to talk to Mormons. Don't talk to them until you've studied all this. And I thought, wow, how am I going to have time to do all of that and still study my Bible? And a similar thing with some materials on Jehovah's Witnesses. The idea was you need to study all about the Jehovah's Witnesses and know them forward and backward before you even begin to talk to them. So wait a minute. If I'm going to spend all my time studying the Mormons, studying Jehovah's Witnesses, studying this, studying that, when am I going to study the Bible? Well, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the key. If you want to develop discernment, if you want to be able to walk into a Christian bookstore and sort out the fluff and nonsense and from the meat and potatoes that's in there, if you want to get solid stuff that'll help you grow as a Christian and prepare you to be able to go out and contend, earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude said in the little book of Jude, you need to study the Word of God. If you want to be able to talk to people who hold to false religious beliefs, such as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and even we could say the Muslims and Hindus and even atheists, because atheism in its effect becomes a religion. But if you're going to be able to deal with people effectively, you need to read the Word of God. And so that's what I want to encourage you tonight, is that as we approach this new year, people make resolutions. Why not resolve that in the coming year, you're going to put some effort into reading the Bible, whether you read the Bible through from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, in the coming year from January 1st to December 31st, or whether you just resolve that you're going to get into a Bible reading plan in the coming year. Whatever it is, let me encourage you, read the Bible, study the Word of God, and find a reading plan that works for you. I'm going to try and suggest some over the course of the evening here tonight, and we've got some callers calling in we're going to get to here in just a moment. But let me encourage you, there are various Bible plans out there. You could simply go to Google and you can type in yearly Bible reading plan. And I would encourage you to type in yearly Bible reading plan KJV so that you'll get one geared to the King James Version of the Bible. That way you'll be on the right page there. But let me encourage you to do that. And if one plan doesn't work so well for you, try another one. There's some plans that mix up the Bible and portions from here and there, and you check them off as you go through. There's some that just start you in Genesis and work you through until you end up in Revelation. But you need to find one that works for you. And I found one that works for me. I'll share that a little bit later here. But we're also going to take your calls here tonight as we close out the year and get ready for the new year. And you can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. And we have John in Cleveland, Ohio, calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Right, good. Welcome. Good. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, I've been studying the book of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a question about chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
All righty. Well, let me get turned over here to Jonah chapter 3. And let's see, Jonah, give me just a moment here. But, yeah, Jonah is an interesting book. But as I'm turning there, what's your question center around here?
Both verses, both verse 5 and 6.
All right. Oh, let's see. We've got Jonah chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes."
I was wondering if you could tell me which king of Nineveh that this is talking about.
Well, you know, that's a good question. Let me see if I can find some information on that really quick. Let's see. I'm not 100% sure which king that is. Let's see if we can find it here. What are you interested in regards to him? I maybe. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say you're encouraging people to read the Bible, and I just thought going through that particular book, if you could tell me who that particular king was, because I know that the Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and the mm-hmm. Assyrians were very warlike.
Yeah, the Assyrians, yeah. That's one of the reasons Jonah didn't want to go there. Most people believe that it was probably King Phul, not Phul as in F-O-O-L, but P-H-U-L, Phul or Phul Bellicus, B-E-L-O-C-H-U-S, Phul Bellicus. I'm probably not pronouncing that remotely correctly, but
I've studied the Assyrian kings. I've never heard of that name before.
Well, I can honestly say I've not necessarily heard that name either, but a number of people have studied that, and that's what their conclusion is. I mean, there's a great number of kings and rulers in various countries, and sometimes you have sub-kings and things of that nature. But
do you have a particular year?
I do not at what I'm looking at here.
It doesn't give the time of his reign?
Not at what I'm looking at here. I'm looking at John Wesley's commentary, and he does not give a particular reign there himself, or time frame for the reign. Probably, if we look at the time frame of Jonah, we'll see if we can. That would probably give us. Let me go back here to the beginning of Jonah chapter 1.
Can you spell the king's name again? I'll write it down.
Okay, yeah, let me find it again. I just clicked away. P-H-U-L, that's the first name, P-H-U-L. And the second name, the letter B as in boy, B-E-L-O-C-H-U-S. And obviously the time of his reign would have been, of course, during the time of Jonah.
Well, I guess there's some doubt as to when Jonah lived.
Well, I can honestly say I have not spent a great deal of time. It's been a while since I studied the book of Jonah, and I've not really spent a great deal of time looking at when he was around, but he was a prophet. He was out of the northern kingdom, probably about the 8th century, I think, if I remember correctly, somewhere in that time frame. 8th century B.C., I should say. That makes a world of difference. Whether it was B.C. or A.D.
Well, the 8th century would have been the time of Sennacherib.
Well, but he was in a different location. See, we're talking about Assyria, the Ninevites.
Nineveh was the capital of Assyria.
Yeah. And let's see. I'm trying to look up something here. Let's see. No, I'm not seeing this right here. But yeah, about the 8th century. And let's see, where was Sennacherib at the time? We get these guys confused here. But at any rate, regardless of Sennacherib, what in regards to Jonah and the king there in Nineveh are we looking at?
Well, I just wondered if you knew what king it was.
Well, that's as best I can get. I guess we'll have to let you go and explore that online. Maybe you can do some research on that, find out some more about that. In regards to the authenticity of Jonah, if that's what you're wondering, maybe, because some people would question the authenticity of Jonah, and Jesus pretty much certified the book of Jonah as an actual event, because remember when they were demanding a sign from him, he said, "No sign given but that of the prophet Jonas," which was Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the earth, the Son of Man would be, or 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the earth or in the tomb. And so we do know that Jonah was authenticated by Jesus as an actual book. So if you're worried about the authenticity of the book of Jonah, Jesus believed it was authentic, and that's good enough for me, so it should be for you too. So hopefully that helps.
Right.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the question. You know, you've intrigued me. I'm gonna try and look up some more of this too myself, because it is kind of interesting to find out when some of these guys lived and the interrelations, because there's other things going on at the time some of these things are written, and as you read through those, you'll learn more things. I appreciate that.
I think you'll be surprised by the answer.
You can give me a heads up. I don't mind. Somebody tells me the end of the murder mystery, it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
I'll let you find out for yourself.
Okay, well, I appreciate that mysterious response there, but, Happy New Year to you. I appreciate the call tonight.
Thank you.
And we will let it go at that, I guess. But maybe we'll find out something more about Jonah later on, but I certainly have no doubts about its authenticity, whether or not we know the name of the king for sure. We do know, of course, that Jesus authenticated the book of Jonah, and not only Jesus authenticated in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, when he said, talking about the sign of Jonas, the prophet, but, the Old Testament was pretty well set, and by the time Jesus was born, so it was accepted by the Jewish people, the scribes and such, and the Levites, certainly by the time Jesus was born, it was very much authentic or authenticated book. And the thing that I like best about Jonah is he proves that God can use anybody to reach people, because Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He tried to avoid going to Nineveh, and that was the whole story of being swallowed and then spit back out later on. But the thing that's amazing is he gets there and he preaches the message God gave him. And as we read there in Jonah chapter 3, the king's heart was turned. He repented. God put the judgment off. Jonah sat on a hill and pouted because God didn't destroy the Ninevites right away. And God spoke to him, and Jonah says, "See, that's the whole reason I didn't want to go to them, because I knew that they'd repent and you'd have mercy on them." It's definitely a hostile witness there, I guess. But at any rate, I appreciate that call and that information there, John. And we're going to catch our next caller here tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673 is our number tonight. And Bruce, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello.
Hi, good evening. You're on the air with us.
I have a kind of simplistic question, and it was brought to my attention kind of at my dinner table by my teenage daughter.
Right.
She asked a question, which I don't have the answer to, and that's why I'm calling you.
Okay.
She says, "Does God, the Creator, actually need our prayers?"
Oh, that's a very intriguing question. Is there more to it, or just that basically?
No, that's about it. She's saying, you know, like people always feel the need to pray to God and to do this and that. And her question is, I mean, is the Creator really in need of our prayers? Does He really even need our prayers?
Yeah.
I said, well, I hate to answer no, but I almost feel like she has a point.
Well, I'll put it this way. I would tend to agree with you. God does not need our prayers, but He wants them. And let me illustrate a little bit. God is self-sufficient. He has always eternally existed. And there's some great philosophical studies out there on whether or not you can have an endless chain of events. And even secular philosophers and people studying logic have shown that there has to be a first cause somewhere, because the very definition of an infinite chain of cause and events means that there had to be a cause which produced the event, which produced the cause, which produced the event, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And by very definition, there has to be a beginning. If there's no beginning, then there couldn't be a cause to produce the events we see today. And God is that first cause, and He is the one that He's the one that gave us that first cause that started everything. So He always existed eternally. So for an infinite period of time, from our perspective, although time is meaningless to God, He's a timeless being. He exists outside time. He created time. But He existed for an eternity without us, without our prayers, and He existed just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But God desired company. He desired fellowship. If you look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, here, you know, this question is along the lines of the big question about why am I here, or why do I exist? And in Revelation 4:11, John has been caught up into heaven to see the events that work out in the latter days. And as he's looking here in verse 11, the 24 elders in heaven have cast their crowns down before the throne of God. And the Bible says in verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." And notice the last phrase in this in verse 11, "For thy pleasure they are and were created." See, God did not need to create us. He does not need our prayer, but he created us for his pleasure. And over in Isaiah chapter 43, I believe in verse 7, it says much the same thing. We're created to bring honor and glory to him, to bring pleasure to him. He created us for his enjoyment. See, we belong to him. This whole universe belongs to him for his enjoyment. And he created us with a unique characteristic, and that's free will, so that we could choose to love, honor, and obey him, or we could choose to reject him, which Adam did when he chose to eat the forbidden fruit that Eve offered to him. He chose to disobey God and reject him. And
could we say also that, I guess this would be just a little step further on our question, but when we say, we ask the question, did the Son exist with the Father before the incarnation?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Right. And if you can hang on the line, this is a great question. We can carry this over after the break if you can hang on the line, because I think in about 10 seconds we're going to the break. So hang on, and we'll pick this up. This is a great question. We'll pick this up on the second half of the program. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And also wanted to mention, of course, that we're brought to you tonight by not only the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza has calzones, stromboli sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more in addition to some of the best pizza you've ever eaten. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, whether you're in Ohio, whether you're in Florida, or somewhere in between, if you ever thought about opening a pizza shop, or maybe you have a restaurant and you'd like to add a line of pizza to your offering, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started with your own pizza shop or add pizza to your existing line, and you will enjoy it. It is some of the best pizza you've ever eaten. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio at 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program here, and as we do, I want to mention one more thing real quick. Some of our Northeast Ohio listeners are familiar with Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and he has a program on 1220. Actually, it appears at different times. I usually listen to it at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons, or off the top of my head, I can't think of the other times, but you can check the website for the radio station here at whkwradio.com and find out the other times for that program. But I'm going to be at the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid on Wednesday night. That's New Year's Eve. I'm going to be there, and so if you're in the area, why don't you come out and visit? That's New Year's Eve, and they start out with a dinner at 6:30, and then some singing and testimony, and then I'll be preaching that evening for their New Year's Eve watch night service this coming Wednesday night at Bible Baptist Temple, located in Euclid, Ohio, and right on Chardon Road, just about a block to the north of Euclid Avenue. If you're familiar with the area, you can look them up and give them a call if you need directions. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. And again, you can find out a lot of our stuff at livewithpastoral.com. That's our website, livewithpastoral.com. That'll link you to our church. That'll link you to our Facebook and several other things there. We were talking as we went into the break with Bruce, Bruce was asking a question. His daughter had asked a question about, does God need our prayers? And we were talking about that, and my answer as we were finishing up the last half of the program is basically the short version of it is, no, God does not need our prayers, but he wants our prayers. He enjoys our prayers. And I shared Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And Bruce, are you still with us here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for holding. I appreciate that. And as we went into the break, we were talking about praying and the fact that God enjoys our prayers, that we're created for his pleasure, for his honor and glory. And when we pray, we bring honor and glory to him. We bring pleasure to him. And here's a thought. You had a conversation with your daughter, and you're obviously her father. If for some reason you were separated and you never got to see her or talk with her ever again, she would still be your daughter, wouldn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But let's say that you were separated for some reason for a number of years, and then all of a sudden you got a phone call from her. You'd be anxious to hear from her, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
It would cause you a great deal of pleasure and enjoyment and rejoicing to hear from your daughter that you haven't heard from. And so when we hear from our children, it brings pleasure and enjoyment to us. And I think it's sort of the same thing with God. When he hears from us, it brings pleasure and enjoyment to him. And but we were going to explore that a little bit further. Go ahead.
Yeah. I we were closing, and I kind of turned the page and asked about whether the Son existed with the Father before the incarnation.
Right. And Jesus is described as being from everlasting to everlasting. And the reason is that he is God manifest in the flesh. And this is one thing that gets a little confusing sometimes, because you have the Jehovah's Witnesses out there who teach that he's actually Michael the Archangel, and then you have the Mormons that teach that he's the brother of Lucifer, and that he's the product of a physical union between Jehovah and Mary, and all sorts of things like that. But none of that is the case. The Son, Jesus Christ, the Son, is God, but God exists. The Bible talks about the Godhead, and we use the word Trinity, and the Bible says in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But see, the thing is that Jesus took human flesh, but that wasn't the beginning of his existence. Jesus has always existed because he is God. Remember, God said in Genesis chapter 1 that he was going to create us in his image. And then in Genesis chapter 2, you see the creation of Adam created in God's image. And the Bible says that God took the dust of the earth and formed Adam's body. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then he became a living soul. So right there you have a three-part being, Adam was. He had a physical body. The breath of life that gave him his spirit, and then he became a living soul. And the physical body obviously is how Adam interacted with the physical world around him, just like you and I do today. The spirit is how Adam was able to interact in the spiritual realm with God. And then, of course, and it's the same with us today when we trust Christ as our Savior. We receive a new spirit, plus the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we can interact with God. But the soul then, he became a living soul. That would be his mind, his emotion, his intellect, his will. And so he had three parts to his being, body, soul, and spirit. And that's analogous to God the Father in the Godhead or the Trinity. God the Father would be analogous to the soul. God the Spirit, obviously analogous to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And then the physical body that we have would be analogous to God the Son, the physical manifestation of God. The Bible says God became was manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so God, Jesus Christ, as God, has always existed, but he manifested himself in the world on several occasions in the Old Testament. There's a technical term for that called a theophany. That's a pre-incarnate manifestation of God. And there's a number of them in the Old Testament. Usually you can see them, the angel of the Lord, for instance. Then, of course, to manifest himself as the Messiah, he took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. And then we had, you know, the Messiah brought into the world. Which was Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And so he's always been God, never ceased to be God. But he took on limitations, obviously, to dwell in human flesh so that he could be our Savior, so that he could go to the cross and die for our sins. So I hope a lot of material I gave you there real quick. Hopefully that helps a little.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, well, absolutely. I appreciate that. And if you're interested in more detail on the aspect of the Trinity, you can always go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I have a clip in there dealing with the Trinity or the Godhead. I think it says the Trinity, Understanding the Trinity or something like that. You can find it. Scroll down the right-hand side of the website, and you'll see it under my favorites. Underneath, I think it's located underneath the past programs where you can click on some previous programs as well. So I encourage you, live at pastoral.com. And do thank you for the call. Some good material there. Things to study and think about, pray about, meditate on the scriptures. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We've got Ricardo calling in this evening. Ricardo, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al. How you doing?
Good evening. Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just enjoying, you know, Christmas weekend, everything.
Well, you know, it's a blessing to be alive and to know Christ as your Savior and to celebrate His birth and to look forward to another year to serve Him.
Ah, no doubt. Amen. My question tonight, I was thinking about how throughout the Bible, you know, God speaks to His people.
Right.
Like, obviously, from Adam and Eve to all throughout the Bible, the different prophets and everything. Mm-hmm. And I hear different people's various opinions about, you know, what God does today. And me personally, my opinion is I believe that God does speak to people today. You're just not going to hear about it. You know, the people that it might be happening to, they're not going to be broadcasting it or talking about it on television or something like this. It was something that they would keep to themselves. Whether it be an angel speaking to them, like some people say that God can't directly speak to us because our mind couldn't handle it or something like that. I don't remember exactly. I heard that years ago. I didn't believe that either. I always believe God can do exactly whatever He wants to do. So I was just wondering about your opinion on that.
Well, I do believe that God can speak to us in various ways, and sometimes the ways we can we sometimes question all that. But let me give you some things from the Scripture that we do know God can do. In Hebrews chapter 1, I'm sorry.
No, I just want to say right quickly.
Yeah.
I understand some people say, you know, God spoke to my heart, but mm-hmm. they felt led and some were compelled some way that
right.
They said, you know, I believe God led me in this direction. And I certainly understand that. But I'm talking about in audible ways,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no, that's fine. And like I said, we've got to weigh everything by the Scriptures first and foremost. And in Hebrews chapter 1, this is a great passage here because it starts out in verse 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And he's talking about how in the Old Testament days God raised up different people, and certainly we have prophets in the Old Testament that they spoke words that God directly revealed to them. In fact, that's how we got the Scriptures, I believe. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And so God spoke through people, His very words that are recorded for us. But I like what's here in Hebrews chapter 1, where he says in verse 2, talking about after speaking to us in the past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And it goes on to talk about Jesus. So we see that God speaks to us through Christ in this particular passage, and we do see the words of Christ in the Bible. So first and foremost, we know that God will speak to us through His Word. I know you're talking about audible things, but first and foremost, we do know that God speaks to us through His Word.
Sure.
And that's why it's called God's Word. Just like if you sent me a letter and I read your letter, that's just the same as you speaking to me audibly, really. And in fact, in some respects, it's actually better. Because when we speak like we're speaking right now, tomorrow you may forget the exact words that you said. But when we speak, when you send me a letter or something, then it's more sure in the sense that the words on the paper don't change. You know, our memories change sometimes, and we don't remember things always the same way. Second Peter chapter 1, Peter had written this. He was talking about being with Jesus and seeing the Mount of Transfiguration and all that. And then he comes down to this and he says in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" So, you know, Peter heard the audible voice of God here, of the Father giving reverence to the Son and authenticating the ministry of Jesus Christ as God the Son. And he said, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." And then he says this in verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed." And he's talking about the written word of God being more sure than the audible word of God. And the reason I brought you to this is we hear people who claim that God has spoken to them, and if somebody hears what they believe the voice of God speaking to them, and it goes contrary to the written word of God, then you have a choice to make. Do I go with what I heard as an audible voice, or do I go with what's written in the scriptures? Now, see, I would go with what's written in the scriptures because that's more sure, and the audible voice of God, if it's truly God, is not going to go contrary to the written word of God. You see where I'm coming with that?
Yes.
Acts 17:11, I believe it is, Paul recognized that the believers in Thessalonica and Berea were nobler than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily, the things that Paul told them. He says they went to the scriptures, which at that time, of course, was Old Testament scriptures, all they had, and they searched them and they proved what he said out of the scriptures and they accepted it only because it was proven from the scriptures, not because Paul was speaking it. And I know Paul was not God, but you know he was a voice of God because God spoke through Paul several times. God actually audibly spoke to Paul. Remember when Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, he heard the voice of Jesus speaking from heaven, to him on the Damascus Road. And,
right.
And so he audibly heard God speaking, and yet he commended them because they went to the written word over what he was speaking. And I would say same thing with what I say. Go to the scriptures first. If what I say disagrees with the scriptures, go with the scripture. And so the reason that we have to be clear on this point is because the Bible refers to the devil as a deceiver. And
right.
If possible, he would deceive even the very elect, even believers. And he can deceive believers if we don't weigh things through the filter of the Word of God. And now, do I believe that it's impossible for God to use an audible voice to speak to somebody today? Let's say that there was something happening and that's the only way that God could conceivably accomplish something, maybe an emergency life or death situation or something. I'm not going to reject the idea that God could not do something there. Let me give you an example, and this is one that, I know even some in independent fundamental Baptists, and I know some independent fundamental Baptists would question this, but I have heard this from other people who have been working in other parts of the world, and I know personally somebody who has this testimony, and that's people who are Muslim, who are, for whatever reason, there's a growing phenomena of Muslims in various parts of the world, some here in the United States, some in the Middle East, in various parts of the world, they're having dreams where somebody named Jesus appears to them in a dream and speaks to them. Now, the first reaction of a lot of people, that I would be around in the independent fundamental Baptist movement would be, no, that can't be right. But like I said, I know some people who had this experience, and I've heard other missionaries, independent fundamental Baptist missionaries, solid King James only Bible-believing missionaries who have encountered the same phenomena, and I've seen it too much. Something is going on in the Islamic world where these people are not getting saved through Jesus speaking to them in a dream. I mean, they're hearing Jesus speak to them. What's happening as a result of the dream is they're wanting to know who this is they dreamed about. And God has directed them through his word, through hearing people on Christian radio, through reading a book, through being invited to a church service, through talking with a missionary. They have been directed, their curiosity, their desire to know who this is they dreamed about and why they were speaking to them in their dream, they found and contacted missionaries and Bible-believing Christians, and they've gotten saved. The dream didn't save them, but it was something God used to put them in that direction, and then they eventually got saved. And that's a phenomena that is happening in the world today, and it's amazing when you think about it. But for the most part, there really isn't a whole lot of a reason for God to have to speak audibly to us when we have the Word of God, because, you know, all that I know about God comes from the Bible. And if we read the Word of God, most of our questions are going to be answered there. Between reading and studying the Word of God and being involved in a good Bible-believing church. And I would say that certainly if you can find a fundamental Baptist church, you're more likely going to find a Bible-believing church than in some other groups. But as you get into a good church that preaches and teaches the Bible and actually studies the Bible rather than telling people what they think the Bible should say, but rather saying what does the Lord say about this and actually studying the Bible, then God is going to speak through his word, and he's going to speak to us as we discuss the scripture with other Christians, and God will speak to us in that sense. So I certainly see the leading of the Holy Spirit as God speaking to us. And so in answer to the audible voice, I'm not saying God can't do it, but for the most part, I don't really see why God has to do it when we have the Word of God available to us. So I hope that kind of helped answer your question.
Sure. Thank you, man. One last quick yes or no question.
Yes,
sir. Revelations, when it mentions about if anyone changes the words here.
Right, at the end of Revelation.
Right. Now, is he talking about just Revelations or the Bible as a whole?
I think he's talking about the Bible as a whole. Some people have tried to say just the book of Revelation, but I think it's the Bible as a whole. And the reason is because the whole message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a complete message. It starts in Genesis and it's wrapped up in Revelation. That's why it's the end book of the Bible, and Genesis is the first book. And if you detract from the message, if you take any part of it out, you've attacked the message of God. God's word is sure. God promised to preserve it. So it's preserved. It's been attacked many times. The devil hates it. He tries to dilute it, water it down, change it, destroy it, get rid of it. But we have it. I'll readily admit, I believe it's preserved for us faithfully without error in the King James Version of the Bible in the English language today, because God said he would preserve his word, and I believe it. If God didn't preserve his word, he didn't tell the truth. So I believe God does not lie. God cannot lie. So he promised to preserve his word. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, I believe it is, and he said it would be preserved from the generation that received it forever. And if you get not a New King James, but a King James Version of the Bible, in the English language, you will have God's word in your hands. It's just in an English container. Hey, appreciate that call. And
thank you.
Again, Happy New Year to you. And hope you'll call us again sometime. And we're about out of time today. Never did get back to my Bible study plan. Let me just give it to you in a nutshell really quick. I'm going to try and put some of this online. I alternate Old and New Testament, five chapters a day, and it's been a great way of reading through the Bible. We'll talk about it next week, but we're out of time. A Happy New Year, and I hope you have a blessed new year next year.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenoel.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.